Welcome to Whole Brain Teaching, the podcast. Join your host, Rhonda Arl, and Laura Forehand.
We want to help you as teachers reach your full potential by keeping you up to date with all the latest and best Whole Brain Teaching strategies.
Whole Brain Teaching is a grassroots educational reform movement founded by Coach Chris Biffle, Jay Vanderfin, and Chris Reckstad. Whole Brain Teaching's goal is to create peaceful classrooms through orderly fun.
To support the podcast, please like and share with other teachers.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
And now, here are Laura and Rhonda.
Hi, welcome to Whole Brain Teaching, the podcast. I'm Laura Forehand. I am here with my wonderful Whole Brain Teaching partner in crime, Rhonda. How are you today, Rhonda?
I'm doing great. So glad to be back all together again.
I know. It's been a couple of weeks, but we are thankful to have Coach B and Bethany Blair back with us for another week of podcasting. Bethany is an amazing Whole Brain teacher with a classroom of extremely beloved rascals. This week, Coach will be talking to Bethany about her class full of extremely beloved rascals and the use of Super Improver. So first of all, welcome back to the podcast to both of you. Before Rhonda and I turn things over to Coach and Bethany, Coach, what is our big question for this week's podcast?
The big burning question, my dear friends, which we're now seeing on Facebook, this is April, but we've been seeing it since January, is how do you extend the power of Super Improver into the second semester? Mm-hmm. Laura, Rhonda, Bethany, you've all had the experience of, you come back in early January and you say to yourself, who are these kids? Rhonda, do you remember those days?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Laura, this last January, what was it like in that first week? You can't hardly hit the ground running. It's like you hit the ground and you fall on your face. What's it like in January, Laura?
It's a lot of reteaching. You wouldn't think. We did not have a very long Christmas break. Our Christmas break was maybe a week and a couple days. And even in that short amount of time, I mean, I've had longer. I've had almost 2 weeks, if not 2 weeks in the past. And even that short amount of time, it's like you kind of have to start at square one with some of your kiddos starting all over again.
Bethany, has that been your experience with your extremely beloved rascals, which we will explore a bit more today?
Yeah, definitely. It has been. Our biggest issue was we came back and then we'd be out for snow and then we'd come back and then we'd be out for snow. And that's how our January mm-hmm. went. So I felt like every 2 or 3 days we were having to start at square one again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a little snapshot of what Super Improver is. It's turns your class into a living video game. There are levels. Everybody starts at the turtle level and then they become a panda and a kangaroo. And as they show improvement, they level up. I wrote a book called 122 Amazing Games. I never thought when I was a boy that I was going to be involved in creating learning games. I want to be a pitcher for the New York Yankees. But of all the games we've had over the last 25 years, nothing compares to the power of Super Improver. Laura, preach the Super Improver gospel. Go ahead.
I'm here.
What is teaching like without it? What is it like with it?
Okay, without it, I'm going to try not to like have a traumatic reaction here, but teaching without it was you're constantly jumping through hoops, constantly like getting stickers out, getting like your prize bucket out, trying to reinvent the wheel, or at least that was my experience, constantly trying to reinvent the wheel. How do I motivate these kids? You know, this worked for 2 days and now nothing. So now I've got to try to think of something else. Constantly looking on Teachers Pay Teachers to find the latest and greatest thing. And since using Super, like that is all I use, Super Improver. I mean, as well as some other games that you've come up with, Coach, but Super Improver is a staple in my classroom. And my kids get so excited about, you know, earning that star for improving on whatever it is that they're trying to improve on. So it has been an absolute game changer. And I will not use Super Improver in my classroom.
For folks who need a bit more information, go to wholebrainteaching.com and look at the menus, and you'll find a full description, free, no pop-up ads, of Super Improver with all the graphics you need. Now, how do we keep it going in January to May, half the year? First of all, it takes 240 improvements to go all the way up the ladder. And we're lucky in a typical school year to see 5 improvements. So we'll get some kids all the way up. They become living legends. Their picture goes on the wall. But teachers do not need to panic. When a student becomes a living legend, then they don't earn any more stars for themselves. The stars they earn are awarded to other improving kids. They become a flight leader. So kids get to the top and you've got a teaching associate right there with you. Bethany, have any of your kids ever gone all the way up to the top? And what's your experience with kids sharing stars with kids?
So no, I've actually never had any of my kids that have made it to Living Legend. I am going to this year. We are very close with a couple of my kiddos. I have had experience with kids sharing stars, though. Within Super Improver, you don't want the kids to be further than 3 levels apart from each other. So if a kid is about to level up and there's some kiddos that would be at within 4 levels of each other, I won't let that kiddo level up until they've gotten everybody to where they've improved and leveled up. And so they give stars away. Also, whenever we do dice rolls, with some of the dice rolls we do, I give them, I tell them you can keep a star and you can give away a star if they earn more than one. And some of my students, actually, one of my most beloved rascals, he has never given himself a star. If given the option, he will always give his away. And for a little bit, I had to actually put the stars on his card in order for him to get them. He never wanted to give them to himself.
That's beautiful. All right. So go ahead and give away stars. Laura, what's the most living legends you've ever had?
Like in one school year?
Yeah.
3.
Yeah.
3 and
so,
1.
So, folks, if you have 5 or 7 or 8, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. However, we now, after 5 years of research, we have a way of extending the power of Super Improver. It's called Legends of Alpha Hawk Island. Go to Teachers Pay Teachers. It's free. Legends of Alpha Hawk Island. And we've taken Super Improver and we've added a map. And there's all kinds of things to do on the map that are very exciting, very rewarding. And when kids improve, they get their picture on the map and a Super Improver star and a dice roll. So it incorporates all of Super Improver, but gives you lots more visual stuff to give away. There's locks all over the map and you click a lock and kids improve and they get to pilot the galleon and on and on. So lots and lots and lots of things to give away, but all tied to Super Improver. Now, Laura, if you haven't started Legends of Alpha Hawk Island, tell me if I've twisted your arm here a bit to get it going.
Absolutely, Coach. Yeah. I think that, I mean, because a lot of times I think that is the kind of the fear is, well, when I have them make it and I still have 5 weeks left in the school year, you know, what's going to motivate them to keep improving? Well, you've helped us out with that by Legends of Alpha Hawk Island.
Every video game that I can think of involves some kind of graphical display. It's buildings or mountains or terrain or whatever. And we don't have that with Super Improver. Now with Alpha Hawk Island, we have a three-dimensional space. Mm-hmm. Bethany, have you started Alpha Hawk Island? And if not, why not?
Yeah, actually, I have. I introduced the graphic to the students this week and kind of introduced how it would work. Did a lot of front loading, and we're actually starting playing this next week. They were super, super excited about it, but I wanted to hold on to that excitement over the weekend. And so we'll start playing it Monday.
All right. Now let's talk to Bethany about her extremely beloved Rascals and how she's using Super Improver. Laura, what are your memories of Super Improver? Were you still in the trenches when we were doing Super Improver, girl?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, when I first started, it was something that I was a little bit intimidated by. It seemed like a lot. But once I got it up and got it running, it really, like, it's like a well-oiled machine, Super Improver. And it, like I said earlier, it is such a game changer in every classroom that I've had since starting with Whole Brain Teaching.
Rhonda, how about you? What's life like before and after Whole?
I have to be transparent. I was a little hesitant of Super Improver. That was probably one of the last things that I implemented with as far as all the Whole Brain Teaching strategies. I think when I started it, it was just like 10 levels at the time. Do you remember that, coach? And so I dove in. Nancy gave me the encouragement to give it a try, and I would never look back. I didn't think it would work, and it did. And so I was sold, and I used it up until retirement.
Yeah. All right. So, Bethany, give us a snapshot of what it like, what kids need to get into Bethany's class. What are some of the behaviors that kids are walking through the door with?
My students walk through the door with a lot of aggressive behaviors, screaming, crying as well. But usually they're in there because of aggression. It's punching, hitting, kicking, choking kids, scratching. And this happens not once or not twice, but on a continual, regular basis. Every time they have heightened emotions of any kind, that is their first response.
Our term for kids who are typically described as challenging, we've used that term, as beloved rascals, but kids who are a consistent threat to their own safety or the safety of others, we call them extremely beloved rascals. We prefer that language to the clinical language that's used to describe kids that in essence puts them at arm's distance. So these are extremely beloved rascals. So Bethany, at what point of the year do you introduce this big Super Improver display that you have on the wall? What do you say to the kids? How do they react? Go.
So I put it up on the wall from day one, but I cover it up so that they can't see it all. And we actually used Starries this year, so that way they could get used to getting stars for improvement and not just stars for, well, I'm sitting for 2 minutes, so I get a star because I was supposed to sit and nobody else was. So not just for good behavior, or not just for getting an A on the paper, or not just for whatever they're supposed to be doing, but stars for actually improving in areas. So they had a whole 100 Starries that they could get in order to get used to the talking about and the language and vocabulary of improvement and what improvement is. And then as soon as we got that 100 Starries, we had this big celebration where we took off the paper that covered up the entire Super Improver board. But each level on the Super Improver, except for Turtle, was locked as well. So we started at Turtle, and everybody had their card up there with their name on it. But they still have to unlock those levels every time we move up.
Rhonda, talk about the difference between rewarding for ability and rewarding for improvement. That set of goggles, Rhonda, is crucial to success in teaching. Talk about it.
Yes, it is. And I think, you know, that's what makes everybody nervous. And I see a lot of comments on Facebook that they just want to reward the kid that's doing the right thing. Instead, we switch those goggles and we look for improvements, whether it be academics, behavior, or anything. And that's the beauty of it, is it could be anything that they can improve on, and reward them for that versus rather than just doing the right thing all the time.
Yes. Bethany, what are some sample improvements, academic, social, emotional, whatever, that will get a kid a star in your classroom? Go.
I have lots of examples. A few of them, though, are definitely taking deep breaths and talking about our feelings instead of hitting somebody. Another one would be taking a deep breath and walking away when somebody else makes them mad. That's definitely an improvement.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that you have some kids who are walking away from another kid who is being deeply aggravating? I don't even know adults who do that.
Like, Coach, that did not happen at the beginning of the year. This has been a year-long progress. But yeah. Listen, they do now. They will take a deep breath and turn around and walk the other direction, and I will praise that so much. And they get stars, and sometimes they get dice rolls for it if it's someone who doesn't do it very often. But, yeah, they are starting to.
Laura, we have a culture, not just in America, but the world, of consequences for negative behavior. Mm-hmm. You're all going to be shocked, but when I went to school in Arizona in eighth grade, one of the consequences for negative behavior was you bent over and they whacked you with a paddle. There was a game called baseball. Baseball, typically it's two or more kids who get in trouble. So one kid would bend over, the other kid would take a paddle and whap him. The kid would turn around and whap the other kid, and the principal had a big thick paddle. Those were negative consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, you've lived in the days of negative consequences. Mm-hmm. What do you say to teachers who say, how do we punish these kids? Go ahead.
I just don't think that punishing students gets the results that we think it does. So a lot of times, from what I've seen and what I've experienced, is that we are either going to exacerbate the anger and resentment that these students have by punishing them, or we're going to get a fear-based response, which, you know, is almost like that fawn response where they're just going to try to people please. And that I don't think is healthy either, because then we have students that are doing things just so they don't get in trouble, rather than really understanding, you know, the decisions that they're making, and how that can be a positive or a negative decision that they're making.
Now, Bethany, are you telling us that you have kids who come into the classroom who had a carload of negative consequences without effect? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah. I mean, my classroom doesn't really have consequences. We're beyond consequences, because I'm dealing with, they've gotten consequences their whole life, whether they were fair or unfair, consequences, you know. And so sometimes we have natural consequences. We're supposed to leave everything on the ground when we're at recess. But if they pick up a rock and throw it and it hits them in the head, well, I mean, that's why we leave things on the ground at recess. That's a natural consequence. But we don't have those consequences in my room. We talk about safety. We talk about making our team stronger. We talk about red choices and green choices. But I'm not going to say, you have a consequence because you chose to cuss at me. You have a consequence because you chose to hit me. I'm not going to do that. Their needs are deeper than that.
So you have a kid who engages in very unsafe behavior. They're removed initially from the classroom. They're also can be removed from the school. We don't want people to think that a kid can do anything in your class and not be dealt with or addressed. So calm teachers' fears. I mean, you've got kids who are very violent. And in the most extreme cases, what happens?
Yeah, so if a child injures an adult, they are sent home. There is, I mean, that's not a something that our principal or anybody even messes with. If a child injures another student, it depends on the severity of that and what happens with that. But my goal, as soon as I walk into the classroom every day, is to keep my students safe. So I would rather get hit than another child get hit. And so I make sure that my students, as much as humanly possible, are able to stay safe. So if I see something that might become unsafe, I'm immediately next to that student or between the two students if they're arguing or if there's an something that I think is going to become a fight or an altercation between them. I don't usually remove a student from my classroom. I will take them to a safe location in my classroom to try and keep everybody else safe. A lot of times, they will only get taken from the classroom after they have calmed down and are able to be safe in the hallway.
Laura, that piece sounds like standard behavior. That's the typical situation in schools. You have extremely negative behavior. Okay. But less than this extreme negative behavior, Laura, what do you think about what Bethany's saying about rewarding for growth as opposed to rewarding for ability?
I totally agree with it. Yeah. And I love all the aspects of what you were talking about, Bethany, how you just have to be very aware of your classroom and the surroundings and students, and you just have to be very aware of those going ons in your classroom. So I agree with what Bethany was sharing with us.
Rhonda, talk to teachers who often feel a deep and automatic need to punish kids. What was your experience with success in changing behavior with ever heavier loads of punishment?
Well, if I think back, I can remember, I mean, we took recess away and, realizing that now it's not a good idea. And it really didn't improve the behavior. It continued. So I could see where this punishment doesn't help and it doesn't, I mean, the child can't grow from it. They can't change that behavior. And they need that time and they need that growth process to understand what they're doing wrong in order to improve.
I mean, what Bethany wants, what we all want, is we want kids to learn. We want kids to change brain patterns. We want kids to move to a different area of their brain from the automatic alarm to being rewarded unexpectedly as you are in a game. So, Bethany, what are some mistakes that you've made with Super Improver? How have you polished your Super Improver game with these wonderfully, extremely beloved rascals?
Over the years that I've used it, I have definitely made mistakes. I didn't quite understand, I guess, what looking for improvement was at first. And I would definitely use it for rewarding for, oh, Johnny's the only one lining up, so he gets a star and not anybody else. I definitely started that way because that's what I was looking, I mean, that's the lens that I had. Or, Sally did really well. She's the only one that worked today, so she gets a star, not anybody else. So I definitely had to learn throughout the years and polish that. I'm looking for improvements from any student at any time. And this year, especially, I've had to look for those little micro improvements, not just you did better on reading, or you did better on phonics, or you did better on lining up. I've had to look for you were able to tell me two sentences today instead of a sentence and a half. Even though you were doing backflips across my room, you were still able to tell me those two sentences. And so the little micro improvements are definitely something I had to look for this year.
Laura, Rhonda, Bethany, let me explain something to you. Ladies, you've all heard this phrase, scaffolding. We have to scaffold our lessons. We use the metaphor often of a ladder. We get kids from one rung to the next rung. Our problem is, and Laura, let me tell you, just as you're my good friend, your big problem, which you share with the world's teachers, is you're setting the rungs too far apart, and the first rung is too high off the ground. The first rung, Laura, has got to be ground level. The brain does not make, except in visionary religious experiences like happened to Paul, the brain does not make gigantic transformations and go from off task, rolling on the floor, to writing neat paragraphs. Laura, explain back to me what I'm telling you about setting the rung at ground level. Go.
Yeah, and I don't want people to misunderstand that we're not setting our expectations high, but I think the beautiful thing that I love about Super Improver is it gives me a chance to evaluate each student individually. So I related to what Bethany was saying, and having to change those goggles, because I did the same thing when I first started Super Improver. I was giving those stickers away, or those stars away, like they were stickers on a behavior chart or something like that. But it has given me the opportunity to look at each student, everybody starting on ground level, and then who, like, just the improvements that they make. They're not all gonna, like, one student, we all start on ground level. One student's rung might be a little bit, just a smidge higher than another, because their ability, or not ability, but they're able to do that, versus, like, I'm thinking of one student in particular, just, you know, writing creates a lot of, can create a lot of explosive behavior. And so just being able to say, this is where this student is. I love that idea, Coach, of just, you know, not going from ground level to, you know, three rungs up. It doesn't work that way. And we have to be patient with our students. We have to be patient with ourselves as we learn about our students.
Rhonda, I'm going to take you out this afternoon, and I'm going to teach you how to play racquetball. And you know what? Racquetball is a fast-moving game. And here's how to hold the racket. Here's how to bounce the ball. Here's how to hit backhand. Here's how to hit the overhead smash. And here's how to hit the forehand. And Rhonda, you can't be a good racquetball player unless you can hit a low backhand. You see, Rhonda, I know what you need to do as a racquetball player, and I have extreme urgency for you to achieve these basic skills. And if I talk to you and scold you and redirect you because you can't hit that low backhand, I'm not teaching you in a brain-friendly way. Here's how to hold the ball. That's all I'm talking about. Here's how to hold the racket. That's brain-friendly. My dear Rhonda, talk about brain-friendly micro-step improvements, because that's the way the brain grows. Talk about it. I'm getting excited here.
All right. Well, I agree with you. And what popped into my brain is what we talk about in whole brain teaching all the time is baby steps. And I think that plays a large part into what you were talking about, those micro steps of how the brain learns. So, yes, you have to take those small steps in order for it to grow in the brain and for the students and teachers to understand it better.
That's true. Bethany, you pointed out what I never realized is a standard massive mistake in Super Improver. When you say, I'm going to give Maria a star for lining up quickly because no one else did, I'm going to give Jack a star for coloring within the lines because everyone else's paper is a mess, you've turned Super Improver into a punishment negative consequence. You're patting one kid on the back while you're whapping the rest of them across the back of the head. Bethany, talk about that fundamental mistake of rewarding X kid and pointing out that the rest of you are losers. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if you want any way to get everybody in your class upset, or if you want a way to make, you know, aggressive Andy or screaming Sammy start their behaviors, just go ahead and point out the student who's doing well and saying nobody else is doing well right now, so you get the star. I mean, that's the way that you're going to get all the behaviors and everybody upset and everybody angry, because they probably can all at one point in time or another can all line up quietly or correctly. But even if they can't, you're looking for the improvement in how did they line up this time compared to last time themselves, not everybody else in the classroom. You're looking for, oh, you were able to participate for 30 seconds this time, and last time it was only 15 seconds. So that's an improvement for you, not for everybody else.
My friends, we're standing at a crossroads. One direction is the way we've always done things. And I hate to use this term, but we have a classroom to prison pipeline in many, many cases. We have kids who've been through traditional education. I taught 13th and 14th grade. I had kids who'd been through 12 years and who could not write a sentence or identify an active verb. And that's the traditional method. Something's wrong here. America has more people in the prison population, not per capita, more individuals in prison than any other country on earth. We are raising a generation in a way that is not based upon sound brain science or common sense. How do we change behavior? Little bit by little bit. It's how we learn a sport. It's how we become better writers. So I'm going to go around the video room here. Let's finish with one question. We'll give Bethany the prize position at the end. Rhonda, if you were going to talk to your brothers and sisters out there in podcast land, what would be your best advice for using Super Improver, getting started, overcoming fears, whatever you want, girl?
Well, I would say baby steps. I mean, it's a total adjustment changing those goggles and looking for those improvements. And I think we all probably started out doing it the wrong way, and you get better with it each year that you do it. And I think once you see how well it works, you'll be sold.
Laura, you do not get to say baby steps. Tell a story, Laura, yes, of a kid who improved because of Super Improver. Mm-hmm. Tell the story, girl.
I'm going to tell you about my most beloved rascal this year. It's just amazing. Like I said, just writing is a fight. I mean, it would absolutely be a fight every single time. And just if he did one letter, you know, and wrote it correctly, you know, as far as like, you know, magic C for a D instead of, you know, just being really sloppy about it, then Super Improver star, you made that D look beautiful this time. Last time, you know, it was not sitting right on the line like it is today. And then we go to a whole word, and then we may go to a sentence or two words, and then a sentence and so forth, to the point where I have sent him twice to visit our principal because his writing has just been absolutely amazing. And the principal has made a huge deal about it. And each time he's awarded that Super Improver star for making the improvements, but you can see it in his eyes. He wants to make those improvements. It's this self pride. It's not, you know, it's not this carrot that's being dangled in front of him. I never make a promise like, well, if you will make that D look really, really nice, you can get a Super Improver star. It's not that. It's about, you know, not just teaching them a skill, but also teaching them to take pride in what they do, to have that intrinsic motivation. And I, for one, as a teacher, find that teaching students about intrinsic motivation is really tricky. Because I think for so long, like Rhonda and Bethany have been saying, we've been looking at it through the lens of, if I dangle this carrot in front of you, this sticker, this prize box, whatever, then, you know, then they'll do better. And instead, we're switching that to where they are taking pride and ownership in their own work.
Laura, that's astounding. I just can't believe that. Are you telling me?
I have pictures, Coach. I can send them to you.
I bet you will. Or are you telling me that you had a kid who went from not being able to make a D to writing of such quality he was sent to the principal twice? And are you claiming that you're able to achieve this without M&Ms?
Yep.
Without lottery tickets?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just a star on the wall?
Not even the promise of a star, Coach.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, Bethany, tell your story. And you can't talk about baby steps. What's your advice to your brother and sister teachers out there? Go.
I would say just start using it, because until you actually do, you don't know if it's going to help. You don't know if it's going to work. I didn't know if Super Improver was going to be successful for my extremely beloved rascals, who are used to prize boxes and candies and all sorts of other rewards. I didn't know if it was going to work, but I knew from the previous years that I had taught that it had worked for other students. So I was willing to try and try my hardest, and they have grown so much from that. I love being able to see the joy in their faces, even when they are just getting a star to give it away. They love that. And it's been amazing for them. And they've had so much growth this year that I'm so proud of them for. And I can just see it. And it's just from being able to get stars, because they're able to see what they've improved on. And that's the language we have in our classroom. What did you improve on today? What are you going to improve on tomorrow? And we work on that every day.
Ladies, let's just think about Vincent van Gogh for a second. Vincent van Gogh, the last two or three years of his life, painted at an incredible fever, over 200 paintings, sold one painting. Why did he keep going? Because there certainly wasn't anybody waving dollar signs at him. He was just enjoying the progress and the growth and the challenge of putting paint on canvas. Now, you might say, now, wait a second, Coach, that's a genius. Let me tell you about another genius. Our dear friend Edison went through 1,000 different filaments that would carry an electric charge. Electric charge is very hot, and it burned up all different kinds of filaments. And so he tried 1,000 times to find exactly what was going to be able to hold the electric charge. And people talk about the incredible grit, the incredible determination, despite failure, despite lack of recognition, of the Edisons and the Van Goghs of the world. Listen to me, world. We have kids, virtually every single one in our classrooms, who are playing video games without external reward. Mom is not sitting there saying, Jack, if you can level up, I'll give you a bag full of M&Ms. They will try and fail and try and fail and try and fail because of the depth of the uncertain reward that is released in all games. And there's no external reward that could drive them to those achievements. We have Van Gogh determination. We have Edison grit in our classrooms, built into kids' brains. And we've got to unlock it. And our experience has been Super Improver unlocks it. It changes them into Van Gogh Edisons. Ha ha, how do you like that? Bethany, thank you so much for being with us today. What an inspiration you are to teachers everywhere.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it, and I have enjoyed it.
I couldn't agree more, Bethany. Thank you for giving your testimony. And it just shows that, you know, with the extreme beloved rascals that you have in your classroom, it's going to work for a regular classroom as well. So Coach and Bethany, once again, we want to thank you for taking the time today to talk with us about Extremely Beloved Rascals and Super Improver. We want to remind you, our listeners, to check out our website at www.holbringteaching.com, our Holbring Teaching official store on Teachers Pay Teachers, and our Holbring Teaching Facebook pages. We are here for you. Please continue to like, subscribe, and share the podcast everywhere and with everyone. We are so thankful for each and every one of you. Until next time, bye-bye.